This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This morning I'll be speaking on the topic, Disrupting Unhealthy Patterns. Disrupting Unhealthy Patterns. Now, for those of us who've been in the world for some time, and I say the world not in the context of Christianity, in which the world means people outside of Christ. I'm talking about this earth, this world we live in. For those of us who've been here for several years, we will notice something about life. And that is that certain things happen in patterns. Certain things happen in patterns. Usually, when religious folks will talk about these patterns, they tag them evil patterns. And they talk a lot about evil patterns. And they refer to them as something that happened in your father's life, in your mother's life, in your uncle's life. And you can see it's happening in your life. And sometimes they will say, oh, the grandfather had 5 girls before he had a boy. Then the son had 5 girls before he had a boy. And so they say, this is a pattern. Or sometimes they say somebody graduated from the university and waited 5 years before got admitted. And then the younger person, 5 years before he got admitted. And then they'll say, oh, that's a pattern. Sometimes talk about the job. Oh, I had my first job, I lost the second job, I love it. It was my 7th job that I was able to build a career on. And then they say, oh, the same thing has happened to my son, or same thing has happened to my daughter. In some cases, they talk about, oh, somebody had a miscarriage, and then 5 miscarriages, then one stillbirth, then you know, I had one child that was real or that stayed, and then they continue that pattern. So again, when people have lived for some time, 20, 30 years, there is bound to be certain things that you will see that seem to happen in your lives and to seem to be similar in the life of those that are around you. Patterns are a product of spiritual timing. They are not evil, they are not good. They are just patterns. And I like that to be very clear to all of us. It is natural to have patterns. The reason being that the way life is programmed and the path we all take and the decisions we usually would make because we are unique would usually mean that while some of us would get to a particular place in life and jump over it, some will sidestep it. Some will stop. That thing will stop them. They will see a gulf. And rather than jump or sidestep it, they will just stop. When you observe people crossing the road, you will see what I'm saying. So people will see cars coming, they will jaywalk. Some will wait until cars stop for them. Some will beg that the drivers may stop for them. Some will just run through it. Some would basically take a bridge. So different people would approach the same problem in different ways. And so if you observe for a long time, you will see that certain patterns will form. Some people will approach the same problem in one way, and they all do it in a similar way, while others will do it in a different way, while others will do it, and all of them eventually will form a pattern. If you are going to sit down and look at them, you will see that, oh, okay, when this child got to this age, what did the parents do? Okay, they decided that this child is going to write this exam. We are going to make sure this child does not fail it. So we are going to go pay somebody to do lesson to prepare the child for it. Other parents will say, even if we do lesson, the child is not so sharp, so we are going to bribe a teacher to help him. Some will say, and then you see a pattern based on how people reason, based on the decisions they take, and based on their path in life. So it is natural to have patterns. It is, however, unhealthy to hold on to negative patterns and think that they are supernatural. Like I said, patterns are a result of decision making. Therefore, there's nothing supernatural about patterns. There's nothing supernatural about patterns. However, you can convince yourself that the pattern is supernatural because you don't want to take advantage or take responsibility, rather, for your decision-making processes. I give you an example. So somebody comes to me and says, "I don't have friends. Every time I try to have friends, they backstab me. They betray me. They do certain things to me that makes me realize I'm better off alone." And then I say, "Oh, sit down. Let's talk about your friends. What kind of friends do you attract?" And then you see that this person consistently attracts certain kinds of people. The person is quiet by nature, introverted. And so this person attracts naturally those who are extroverted. Extroverts by nature get to be garrulous, tend to want to have many friends. Introverts by nature, especially the very possessive ones, they like to have one friend who they can talk to, tell everything. And they believe that that person will hold whatever they tell them in confidence because they don't have many friends, so they have only one. Now, an extrovert naturally would have many friends, and because your next one has many friends, and next one tend to talk very much, tend to overshare. Which then means that a possessive introvert who made friend with an extrovert is likely to feel betrayed if she heard from another friend of that same extrovert some of the things he or she had told the extroverted friend. It's just a pattern. There is nothing evil about it. There is nothing demonic about it. It's just human behavior. If you have somebody that has 10 friends and you have somebody that has just one friend, the expectations of the relationships are going to be different. And as a result of that, the one that has only one friend who is extroverted has to be the one to reason and say, "Hey, I have to be careful. This person has a lot of friends. And if you are having a lot of friends, likelihood of you turning me to one of your gists in one of your friendship discussions is going to be high." It's just the way it is. And so you then are going to be selective. You are going to tell yourself, "Okay, I'm going to have a friend, but this time around, I'm going to choose a friend that is going to be like Jonathan to me. I'm not going to choose a friend that's going to be like Absalom, who is quite popular with people and very outgoing and garrulous. I'm going to pick a friend that we can like be on the same wavelength, and he or she can tell me all of whatever he has in his heart, and I can also share, and I'll know that both of us are each other's safe spaces." That way you solve the problem of, "Oh, all my friends always backstab me." Basically, it is because of the kind of decisions you made that led to the kind of friends you have chosen. You see, so it's not so difficult for somebody to have a friend that is faithful, that's both a Christian, that they can talk to each other, pray with each other, and really be into each other if you understand the kind of person you are supposed to attract into your life and the kind of things you are supposed to share with such a person. Right now, you have another person who comes to me to say, "Oh, all my relationships don't work. Whenever I'm talking to a guy, or a guy is talking to me, after two or three dates, the guy will just leave. He will just not be interested anymore." And I said, "Oh, okay, put me through it. Tell me, on your first date, what do you guys talk about?" Then the person will tell me, "Oh, these were the things we did." Okay, the second one, Oh, these are the things we did. Okay, the third one. Well, yeah, I started losing interest at that point, but these are the things we did. And I'll say, okay, what are the things you said? You say, oh, look at it. Look at my messages. Can you? But I mean, I read. What? How have I gone wrong? What did I write? What did I say? How did I get it wrong? And then I'll say to her, you followed the same pattern in all your relationships. You did not look at it and say, oh, there's something I did here that made this guy withdraw, right? Say, yeah. I said, yeah, because you followed the same pattern. You shouldn't say it has to be my way. When somebody says it has to be their way, the person is extremely putting out a very selfish vibe. In a relationship, if you have a pattern of being very, very selfish, you are not going to have a good relationship. It is true that self-preservation is the most important part of the human person. All of us always want to protect our interests. Even going into a relationship is a selfish thing. That's the truth. It is part of your own self-preservation. That's why you are thinking, oh, I'm lonely. I need somebody in my life. You see, you need somebody. It is part of your own well-being. Because you are lonely. I need somebody to talk to, somebody to share with. I need somebody that I can relate with, my best friend. I need a lover. I need this. If you are thinking like that, you are doing so for self-preservation. When you are much younger, when you are 10, 15, you are not thinking like that because that particular instinct of your life and that particular need of your life was met with family and friends or by family and friends. You had people in your life and you didn't even think you had any space for anybody. And then as you grow older, all of us begin to separate. Families separate. You go to different schools. You move on with life. You grow older. And suddenly you realize, hey, I need to have a mate, right? And then you do that for your self-preservation. Always remember that at the root of all relationship is a core of selfishness, of self-preservation. Now, all of us know that. I know that when I'm going to a relationship, I'm doing that because there is a lacuna in my life I want to fill. And the lady that I want to go into a relationship with also has a lacuna in her life that she wants to fill. However, when both of us come together to say, okay, let's see what can work out, it is expected that while I want you to fill a lacuna in my life, I'm expecting you to also fill a lacuna. I'm expecting you to also create room for me to fill a lacuna in your life. And therefore, that's both of us are creating spaces for each other. But when you have a date and you begin to lay down rules, who are you? You're not my mom. You're not my dad. You have a wrong attitude to it. Say, no, I can't take that. I can't do this. I can't do that. I said, look at your messages. You're talking to somebody. You're like, no. No, anything after 10 o'clock, I don't talk to anybody. You will stay there, you will be long. You will grow long in the tooth. You will go tusk like elephants. Yeah? And then you'll be crying, nobody wants me. It's because, well, to be quite candid, nobody should want you. You are better off on your own. You are a calamity in a relationship. You shouldn't be a calamity in a relationship. You should be a blessing. And therefore, you would have to think beyond your self-preservation to also meeting somebody's needs and balancing it out. Otherwise, the pattern will continue and you would be doubling down. You'll be saying, I didn't do nothing wrong. No, I didn't do nothing wrong. And then you realize that because you kept doubling down, that's exactly why you are wrong. When it comes to patterns, decision-makings determine the pattern we follow. You see, all right, on the third note, there are supernatural interventions that disrupt patterns. For example, we all know the story of Zacharias, how he got to the temple. It wasn't his first time. We all know the story of John the Baptist. We know the story of Jeremiah. These are priests who are supposed to be priests. The pattern was a priest will give birth to another priest, a priest will give birth to another priest. And then God called Jeremiah and God said, before you are formed in your mother's womb, I have known you. You see, that's a supernatural pattern that was going to invade the natural order and set it apart. The angel appeared to Zacharias and said, hey, you're going to have a baby. And he was like, no, we invited the pattern, myself and my wife. We never got children. We never got pregnant. That's our pattern. Why are you trying to change our pattern? And the angel was like, no, I'm changing your pattern because there's a bigger pattern that is coming and everything had to be in the same synchronology. That should sync together. John the Baptist must come first, then Jesus will come. And then when we look at scripture, we will see the timing and we'll see the pattern that we have set in order to fulfill a prophecy. Now, supernatural patterns are once in a lifetime thing. You see, because you do not have to make decisions until they are asked of you when it comes to supernatural pattern. They just happen. They are called disruptions. They will just happen and they will disrupt the path you are following, disrupt the way you are going. Let me give you an example. This happened to me some years back. A friend of mine, some friends where I was living when I was maybe early 20s, they got this job with the local government, this polio vaccination thing. So they will go to the local government, collect the polio vaccination thing, collect a t-shirt or this apron that they will put on their neck, and then they will visit neighborhoods to help vaccinate children. They will have given them the training at the local government, and they were earning some little money daily from that work. And one of them told me, said, oh, there's an opportunity. They want to start another batch of immunization and would like you to join us. And I wasn't doing anything at the time, so but I never liked the kind of people, those guys particularly, they are all of them are Muslims, and there's a kind of language, kind of mindset they had. That's really because all of us were in the neighborhood. I could tolerate it if they greet me from afar, but I do not want to come into their midst and be their friend and be seen as their mutual. It wasn't pride, it was just our wavelengths were so different. And I do not thrive well when I'm with people that. Do not are not very sharp. It is easy for them to classify me as proud and condescending because I will not stoop down to their level. I'm going to stand where I stand and I'm going to be talking down them. So because of the way they behave, I just so I told them, I said, no, I'm not interested. But I needed the money. You see, I was broke. I needed the money, but I do not want that. That connect. I didn't want that connect. I was like, no. I'm better off hungry than being friends with these people. It will never end well because it's either they will beat me up one day or all of us will turn out to be estranged one way or the other. So it's best to just be greeting them from afar. I know myself. So I just felt like, okay, not my thing. So one day they were going for this immunization thing and then they met this guy. So let's call this guy Lemmy. That's his name. And this guy was from Plateau State, and the guy speaks very good English. And the guy has came to Ibadan at the time to prospect in aquamarine business. So the guy had some money, drives a good car. So the guy met them and they engaged them and they were talking. And they couldn't understand. I told you they are not very sharp, so they couldn't. So one of them said, ah, this guy is rich. He's staying in a hotel close by and he needs help. He needs somebody to talk to. But all of us, we can't talk to them. Somebody mentioned, oh, why not that guy? So somebody mentioned my name. So I became friends with this guy. Very good friends. We'll sit down, read books. Guy likes a lot of books. I also like to read. So we sit down together, we read books, we just talk. And he became very close to me. It's quite older, older by age, right? But became quite close. So I'll go to his hotel at any time. Whenever I see a good book, I'll buy it. And I'll go give it to him. He will give me back the money. He was collecting books for his library. And so we had certain tastes that were quite good. So we became quite friends, very good friends. I was in the University of Badon around that time. And then these guys that introduced the guy to me just appeared out of nowhere one day. Just came. A lot of them came to me too, and they said, "We don't want to be his friend anymore." I was like, "Ah, what do you mean? We are the ones that told him about you. And the guy has been giving you money. You have been going to his hotel. You are not sharing." I told him they are not very sharp. You are not sharing the money with us. You are supposed to be giving us." I said, "I'm not collecting money from this guy. He's just a friend." But they couldn't believe that. Go, no, we don't be his friend anymore. Since you are the one that told him about you and then he discovered you, and you guys became friends. You've been enjoying it all alone." Oh God, it's not good to have people that are not so sharp around you. So I was like, "Oh my God, how can people be thinking like this? This is in their head, in their head." I was collecting aquamarine money from the guy, and I wasn't sharing the money with him. And that wasn't the kind of friendship it was. So I was like, "Okay, I'm not talking to him again." So then I stopped talking to the guy. When I stopped talking to the guy would look for me. I just stayed on campus. I refused to come back to my local area. So I just stayed on campus for a long time. So the guy would ask them after me. They would say, "Oh, they don't know where I was. Oh, they don't know where I am. They don't know anything." But I learned the lesson from it. So several months later, that scene was gone. And then I was back at home. And there was another guy that came also to our area. And he also, from the north, very intelligent, and he became their friend. And they then told him about me. And so this guy then came and said, "Oh, I've heard a lot about you. You read." I was like, who told you about me?" And then he said, "Oh, those guys." I said, "No, go back to them. I don't want to be your friend." Why? It was going to set another pattern. I have seen that. Oh, this thing will continue, right? It's going to set another pattern. And it will end the same way the first one ended, where they would then say, they introduced the guy to me, and that I wasn't sharing, whatever. So I just said, "Nah, this thing would never." Again, you must learn. When you look at a pattern at your place of work with people, and you see that certain patterns were forming, you have every right to like, "Okay, this is a result of decision making. I do not want these patterns to continue. These patterns must stop. You will be the one to change the pattern. It's not something you kneel down and pray about. It's not something you speak in tongues about. It's something you observe yourself and you say, 'Hey, I do not like this thing. So, allez, 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 go.'" That's how it is. That's how to stop patterns that you don't want. Now, if there are patterns you want, all you have to do is make the same decisions over and over, and you will get the same result over and over. So if there is something you notice that, too, when I study at night, I don't do well. When I study during the day and then I write my exams, I do well. That's a pattern. So you continue to study during the day, you write your exams, you do well. Those who study at night, they write the exams, they do well. So you encourage positive patterns, and you are deliberate about noticing negative patterns and saying, "No, no to them." And that's it. Now, let me move a bit into the spiritual one. So there are people that maybe they get pregnant. And then as long as they keep quiet, the pregnancy is fine. Because many people think it's very spiritual, like it's witchcraft or something. No, it's not. See, our human mind and our bodies are so wired in such a way that some of us, we have high anxiety quotient. That's for me. It's not from book. That's how I put it. I know people that are so anxious that as long as they keep something to themselves, it is safe. When they share it, it automatically multiplies the anxiety. Automatically, they become scared that, ah, now that I've told this person, this thing can happen, that thing can happen, those things can happen. What did I tell him? The best thing for you to then do is not continue that pattern, is just to keep quiet. No matter what happens to you, get the visa quiet, get promoted at work quiet. Just keep quiet. In your quietness, there is peace for you. You can't compare yourself with somebody like me. Somebody like me, even before that thing comes, I'll be shouting it. So I'll tell my mom, I say, no. I know my own pattern. If I want something done, if I pray about something now, I'm announcing tomorrow. I'm announcing 5 minutes later that I've gotten it. I'm not kidding. I'll be saying, oh, glory to God, everybody. I got myself a Lambo. I don't have a Lambo yet, but I've prayed about it. Hey, that's my pattern. When I announce things, they happen. I announce that they must happen. I understand this is what works for me spiritually. I must call them forth. I must shout them on the mountain. I must insist on it. It works for me. It doesn't matter when people look at people like, but I've been guy. But you don't have this thing. I say, is it your pattern? Why are you using your pattern to compare my own? I don't have this thing now, but I'm saying to everybody, I have it. And then 2 days later, I will have it. Then I will say, come and see. When I was telling people 2 days ago that I had this thing, you are saying, ah, but I've been guy, you don't have this thing. But look at it now. I did not come. See, that's my pattern. Works for me all the time. So if I want something, my first thing to do is to shout it, to say it everywhere. I've gotten it. I've gotten it. It's mine. Glory to God. I got it. I will get it. Doesn't work for some people like that. I know me. I know me. I know that if I call it forth, I will have it. There are some people, they have it, they have to keep quiet. When I have it, I'll say flaunt it. I'll say, yeah, I've gotten it. Come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see. And then I'll look to the next thing. Understanding what works for you is very important. So if somebody comes to me because their own pattern is that in everything they must be quiet, they must be very stealthy, they must go through life very shh, shh, like that, quietly. And then this will be happening for them and they will keep it quiet. And then somebody comes to me and say, but I'm going, see, in this life is this thing. Don't announce anything. Even if it happens for you, keep your mouth shut. If it don't happen for you, keep your mouth shut. The person is going to cobalize me because the person will make people start behaving like him or her, and that doesn't work for me. You see, what works for you? That's why I said this for those of us who have been in this world for some time. You must have by now know what works for you. So when somebody else comes to you and says, no, in my own case, I just keep my mouth shut. Okay, that's you. God bless you for you. In my own case, I shout it out loud. That's what works for me. And therefore, everybody will then have to pay attention to their patterns and what works for them. And when they do it, everybody is happy. Glory to God. All of us paying attention to these things help you to know what works and what does not work over time. Glory to God. I bless the Lord for you. I declare that you are wise, that you see beyond the words and you walk deliberately in the fulfillment of the purpose of God for your life. We are supposed to go to the right, we will not go to the left. We are supposed to go to the left, we will not go to the right. We are supposed to speak, you will not be quiet. And we are supposed to be quiet, you will not speak. For the Lord is residing inside of you and his grace is upon you. Thank you, Father, for the word of God this year, and it is amen. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody who is blessed shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.